And thanks to the help you will get from ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll keep it running. We'll get it running. Your car, your truck, your van. If you have any issues with those vehicles and you need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you kind of want to know what might be ailing, why don't you give us a call or send a text to Nick this morning? Either one, 651-461-9226. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you, and how are things this past week at Lloyd's?
Things have been great. You know, it's been good, steady business, and we had a few folks working through their spring breaks here, so it always makes a little interesting scheduling-wise, but we're back on top of it, so we're ready for more.
Now, tomorrow, being St. Patrick's Day, is there going to be a parade? Are the folks going to be wandering down Grand Avenue in front of Lloyd's?
The parade's downtown, so I don't believe the parade goes past Lloyd's, but I did notice driving around yesterday, there's a few tents being put up at a few of the establishments.
Oh, very good. Very good. I want to alert our listeners who may be new to the show, and thanks for checking us out. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, so our time goes by really quickly. So I just advise you, and we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text earlier rather than later, as we move rather quickly through our brief visit with Nick. Again, 651-461-9226. As you know, Nick, most of our listeners are drivers. They're not technicians like you and your crew at Lloyd's, but we do have, and as you know, you probably hear from technicians in the business. We have those folks listening to the show as well, or really do-it-yourselfers who can jump right into their vehicles, literally sometimes. Here is one, and you'll know what I mean. Hello, it says, I have a 2017 Honda Civic sedan with a 1.5-liter engine. Last summer, as preventative maintenance, I installed four new NGK laser iridium spark plugs and coil plugs. This summer, I'll be doing a manual valve adjustment. Wow. Was wondering, can I use the same spark plugs, or do we need to replace them since the spark plug crush washers would have been used? Of course, I'll be using a torque wrench. Thanks for any info.
I would reuse the same spark plugs. There is a crush washer that kind of helps seat the plug, I would say. But if they're properly installed, properly torqued, it'll be just fine. There's no need to go and buy new spark plugs. As you probably know, they've gotten quite costly.
And I don't personally, I would leave something like that up to the you and your crew there at Lloyd's Automotive. Tell me what can happen to spark plugs. We've addressed this issue before, especially spark plugs that have been there for, 100,000 plus miles. What can happen?
Well, the first thing I would say is if you're replacing the spark plugs, absolutely put back in what came out. Like quality or similar isn't good enough. There are some vehicles that are very sensitive to that. So whatever spark plug, even brand, that went in the vehicle when it was originally made is what we would reinstall it with. And then if you don't tighten it properly or torque it enough, they can become loose and actually literally blow out of the cylinder head, which would damage the cylinder head. If you tighten them too tight and crack them, you could have that material falling into the cylinder, which then could cause failure and permanent damage to the engine.
But generally speaking, and I haven't looked at the manual for my car yet, but these days it seems like you don't need to change spark plugs for a long, long time.
That's true in most cases. There are some vehicles that we see are now back around the 60,000-mile interval, but some of them are 100,000 miles. Now, it is important, even if the vehicle is running fine, to follow that interval. The other thing that can happen is if the plug's in the vehicle or the cylinder head too long, it might become difficult to remove, which could create more work and a little more money.
Ouch. All right. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Nick Stoffel is joining us, helping us out as usual this morning, helping you out. Here is another text, Nick. Texter says, I recently got an 88 New Yorker. Wow. The interior lights won't turn off, and the electronic dashboard quit. Any way I can fix that?
Possibly. It's going to require an old manual, a test light, a voltmeter, and try to decipher where we're losing power and ground. Once you determine that, finding the part, whatever it might be difficult. Obviously, you go online. Some of these online sources can help you out. ground. Once you determine that, finding the part, you know, whatever it might be difficult. Obviously, you go online. Some of these online sources can help you, but it's going to be a bit of a treasure trail. So I would be patient, and hopefully it works out for the best.
Rather long paragraph here. Maybe I can condense it. Basically, it doesn't mention any particular vehicle, but it's a general question about shocks and struts. How often should those be changed? Generally speaking, I guess we should address. I'm not sure how it varies from vehicle to vehicle. But how do you know if you need shocks or struts?
Well, it's one of those things that slowly deteriorates, so we don't always notice they're getting bad until they are. Things that we look for, if they're leaking, we'll joust the vehicle, which is essentially pushing up and down on the bumper, on the hood, trunk, and seeing how it rebounds. It should go down and back up and settle down. It shouldn't be like a basketball. Tire wear is another thing. If the tires are becoming abnormally worn, likely because the tire's not firmly held to the road because that dampening part, shock strut, isn't doing its job. So it is. They can be expensive, but they can really change how the vehicle handles. Well, we talk about the things that you can do to a car that make it feel new. Tires and like shocks and struts are the one thing, you know, the vehicle's approaching 100,000 miles. It can make it feel like it's a new car again.
Now, over the years, has the quality of shocks, for example, changed? I mean, are we getting better materials these days than years ago?
Well, I think like everything with time, quality has improved, but also the technology and how they design and set up the suspensions has changed. You know, if I go back where we had just shocks on a vehicle, maybe it was 30,000 miles, and they still didn't ride very good, where new vehicles with a different type of independent suspensions and the way they have control arms and all these other pieces, you can get 100,000 miles out of a strut, and the car can, you know, go smoothly down the road.
All right. Nick, we need to take a quick break. Let's again invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Again, if you have any kind of car problem, car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what might be ailing, give us a call or send a text, whichever is easier, at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will take his leave about 7:45, so call us earlier rather than later on this Saturday morning. Right now in the Twin Cities on this windy day, it's going to be windy for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow as well. Let's see, the high today probably is where we're at the moment, 42. And we'll drop to 24 overnight. Then for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, our highs with another, as I said, windy day. 34 will be the high tomorrow at chilly and windy St. Patrick's Day. Right now, 42 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Danny Long back with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel. He runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, I got to come and see you one of these days for another oil change. But in the meantime, for those folks that maybe need an oil change or maybe some other kind of work and they want to visit you at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
You know, as always, we say if you need advice, questions, anything, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. The corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, I'd appreciate if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll have Nick give us that info before he leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Any kind of a car code question that's on your mind, 651-461-9226, either a phone call or a text. Speaking of text, here's yet another one. Good morning. This one says, I had the oil changed in my Toyota 4Runner this past week, and asked that the dealer use synthetic oil. They did, but the window reminder stick says the next time I should change the oil is in 5,000 miles. Shouldn't it read 10,000 miles? Thank you for your awesome show. Well, we've addressed this quite often, and I know what you're going to say, Nick, and I know how I feel, but let's face it, some of the dealers and the manufacturers say, yeah, 10,000 is what we recommend.
You know, I do believe that like you said, had this conversation. I'm sure the oil is capable of that, but the filters are still the same filters we've had. We see a lot of mechanical wear and tear, timing chains, other parts of the engine, the variable valve timing controlled by oil flow and oil pressure that have issues, and a lot of it's lack of maintenance. So I can't stress enough on a good synthetic oil, 5,000 miles is our recommendation for sure.
Yeah. And for regular old-fashioned oil, about 3,000, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. This question doesn't mention any kind of a vehicle, but they ask about vehicle diagnostics. What is done during that? What do they mean? Well, I kind of know what they mean, but they want to know, is it expensive?
Well, that's always the tough one. So yeah. In our industry, someone comes in with a concern, if the check engine light is involved or a warning light is involved, that's helpful because then we can access the computer system that will give us a fault code to what the computer doesn't like. It doesn't tell you what part is broken, but it might say, for example, there's a misfire or the engine's running too lean. Well, with that information, we can go to, let's say, the spark plugs or go to the intake manifold, fuel injection. We can kind of focus on a particular area to help us save time, which saves money. Now, those intermittent, not very many clue type of problems can get costly because the more time it takes to assess and figure out what's wrong, the more it's going to cost. So it really kind of depends on the situation. I feel that our practices and procedures are efficient, so it saves people money because we know what we're doing. But sometimes it can still take a bit of time.
And you always recommend if somebody is buying a used vehicle, call your shop like Lloyd's and get that vehicle checked out before you buy it, right?
100% of the time. You know, with the inflation and the cost of vehicles, the cost of used vehicles, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of less than desirable vehicles at that lower price point. And there's always been the classic, you know, $500 junker that your kid drove. Well, those days have changed where, my opinion, we just had one at Lloyd's this last week, where somebody might take a salvaged vehicle and put it back together with not best practices, which, my opinion, makes the vehicle unsafe for the road. So it's something I would tell someone to pass on. Now, as a layperson that doesn't work on this every day, they may not see that. And I think that's really helpful and useful, especially in the event of an accident.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's see. This other text says, I have a high-mileage vehicle that has oxygen sensor failure, according to a computer check. Does that affect performance? And if so, what happens?
So the perfect example that code, depending if it's a circuit code or like a functionality code, is saying that it's not liking the sensor's reading. So is the sensor not reading properly, or is it correct in the fact that the exhaust coming past it is not clean? So what the sensors do is they read the amount of oxygen in the exhaust, shares that information with the computer, and the computer can adjust the fuel mixture to make it run optimally and clean. The other purpose is the second oxygen sensor, which is after the converter, which we've heard about in the news in the last few years where people were stealing them, is that converter filters or cleans the exhaust before it goes out the tailpipe. So those sensors are important. They do go through a lot of heat and a lot of soot and carbon and such, so they do tend to wear out or enable reading correctly. So it wouldn't be surprising that it would fail. It can affect fuel economy, the emissions for sure. Sometimes idle quality, if that sensor is erratic, the idle can kind of try to follow that because the fuel mixtures are changing. It's not the type of part that might leave you on the side of the road, but it puts a lot of stress on other parts. So I would call it a part you should fix or replace.
Okay. As I was reading this next text, Nick, I was thinking it was going to be a question, but it looks more like a comment. You decide. 2012 VW Passat. The air pressure sensor light does not go off, even after I've topped off all the tires with air. I've discovered, reading the owner's manual, the only way to have that light turn off is to push a reset button, which is in the glove box. It sounds kind of like a tip, doesn't it? A question.
That is true. Some vehicles do have a button to help reset the light. Some vehicles you just have to drive it, and some have a series or sequence of buttons you might have to push on the dash to reset it also. So there's a whole variety of designs and resetting procedures. So check the owner's manual. You can look online, see what fits your car in the event that the light comes on.
Absolutely. Check the owner's manual. Something we recommend from time to time. Nick, we're going to take a quick break for weather, advising our listeners if you have any kind of a car care question. We'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 or so. 651-461-9226. Weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, right after that 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, is answering, as usual, those any kind of a car care question you might have this morning for a few more minutes. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. Nick, let's grab another one. My wife, Texter, says drives 300 miles a month. Should she use high-grade fuel? She drives a new Equinox.
Well, we get this question from time to time also. And the advice would be, in the fuel door, it'll say regular unleaded, it'll say premium. It might have a bit of information, as with the owner's manual. And our response usually is, you can try a lower grade fuel if the vehicle operates and runs normally. I think it's okay. If you notice any pinging or detonation or any abnormality, I would upgrade to the higher level fuel.
All right. I'm looking at the next text, and it's kind of jumped around five or six different levels. So it'll take me a little bit to translate this. But what I could see is a 2017 Subaru Forester recently had replaced the front catalytic converter, replaced with an aftermarket unit. We were on vacation. The check engine light went on. Took it into a shop. Code indicated the converter is bad, needs to be replaced. Sounds strange. Evidently, it's probably the mechanic said it's probably the aftermarket converter and needs to be replaced. Have you heard that story before?
I have, and my opinion would be that the aftermarket converters don't have the same amount of the precious materials that clean the exhaust as the original equipment, meaning they cost less for a reason, and oftentimes it's not because it wasn't put together well or correctly. I just believe that the amount of the precious materials that filter it aren't there. So I have seen where some of the aftermarket ones, and there's a whole variety of them, that maybe don't last like they should. It should be under warranty. I think the warranty on those is long enough where if it were to fail within a couple of years, you should be able to have that replaced. If you're on vacation, I'm sure you're fine to drive home and get back to whoever done the work. So I wouldn't be too worried other than the fact that the light's on and that's concerning. But I think you'd be fine for the rest of your trip.
And we haven't talked about it for a while, but have you been hearing or seeing any evidence of continuing theft of converters?
You know, we talked about that a few months ago, and I said, it's been a while, and then that week we had a couple, so I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay.
I do think with the new laws and people made different decisions, there's been some reinforcements and security processes in some of these vehicles that's helped. People are more aware where they're parking, and just kind of like how the world works. You kind of adapt to your scenario, your situation, and keep going.
All right. Let's see, our time, we can still handle a few questions. This listener has a 2022 Toyota Corolla, 60,000 miles on it. At what mileage should the CVT transmission have the filter and fluid changed?
Most vehicles, I believe that vehicle included, it would be a drain and fill, meaning you pull a drain plug and a few quarts will come out, and then you replace the plug and go to the fill plug and refill it. And the mileage back to that owner's manual, my guess would be around that 60,000 mile, but I wouldn't know every make and model. So I would check the owner's manual, look online. There'll be a good resource or information there.
Here's an interesting text. Something you and I talk about, oil, synthetic oil. Question is, are there really some models out there where synthetic oil is not recommended at all? Texter says, I'm thinking of my Hyundai Santa Fe.
I always ask myself that question. I look at our inventory and our purchases, and even our conventional oil that we use is now semi-synthetic, but we still use quite a bit of it. So we always put back in what comes out of the vehicle. We look it up in the manual or in our online references that we use. And we still go through quite a bit of it. So, yeah, there are still some vehicles that we'll use, you know, especially like the sometimes there's a 530 or 520. Now, 0W20 is only synthetic because it's the way it was made. So if your vehicle, which many vehicles on the road now take a 0W20, that's going to be synthetic regardless. But some of those other weights, there are still some options.
I think my son's vehicle takes a 0.16. It's like water.
Yeah, they're 0.16, and I think there's a couple out there might take a 0W8, and you know that's a whole other conversation. And
yeah,
I know emissions is a big, and fuel economy is a big push there, but I look about durability and longevity too. So there's a balance somewhere in there.
Yeah, but I'm sure you recommend do what the manufacturer recommends.
Absolutely, you know, you have a warranty on that vehicle, you want to use what is recommended and required by the manufacturer to keep that warranty intact.
Okay. This listener has a 2015 Chevy Equinox. Whenever they say it sits without being driven, the battery dies. No problem if driven within 3 days. It does have a new battery. I bet I know what you're going to say.
Well, let's see what you have to say, Denny. No, there's a drain.
It's draining somewhere, right?
It's draining somewhere. You know, it's going to take a little due diligence with a voltmeter across the, you know, on the battery to see what kind of drain or what amount of current it's leaking. And then we go to each circuit of the vehicle and try to figure out which circuit or which fuse that's on. And then you go to figure out what's on that fuse and circuit. And, you know, it's a process. You know, it kind of goes along with our question earlier of diagnostic and is it expensive. You know, an electrical drain like that, it might be a common thing that we've seen before from our experience, and we can get to it fairly quickly, or it might be something a little more buried and unconventional. It takes a little more time. So you don't want your battery wearing down every few days for sure. So that needs to be resolved, because whatever is draining, if that component fails or damages another component, it could be a computer or a module, which can be very costly. So I would have that looked at.
Okay. A question about, we were talking about shocks and struts. Back to the question about shocks and struts, Dexter says, first of all, do most cars today have struts? Are there cars today that still have old-fashioned shocks? Are struts either oil or gas-filled? If oil, they will seep and you know replacement is needed. If gas, how do you know if the strut needs replacing? First of all, what's a strut?
Well, they do the same thing. They dampen, right? In a shock, there are still shocks on the rears of a lot of vehicles, but most everything on the front of the vehicle, except for maybe a truck, is going to be a strut. You know, and a strut most often is like a coilover, so it's a sleeve that has a dampening unit in the middle, and then that coil spring on the outside that is essentially it's called the McPherson strut. It's everything contained in one. Where if you go back to yesteryears, you would have a shock and then a different spring. You know, sometimes there was a leaf spring, which goes way far back, or sometimes there would be a coil spring separate of the shock. So it's just how, when I talked about the ride of the vehicle as technology and advancements have changed, that McPherson strut made a big difference on how we set up the front of a vehicle, which makes the handling, the ride, much, much better.
And you said earlier, too, as far as if shocks and or struts are bad, and you see some just tire wear, first of all, that could be, may not be, but it could be an indication if you have bad tire wear.
Abnormal tire wear, we'll see. The handling, you know, in yourself, you can go out after the radio show here and go out and push down on the bumper of your vehicle. If it goes down and back up smoothly, they're probably doing the job. If you notice that they kind of jostle or bounce a little bit, that's a sign that they're getting worn. We've all been on the highway before, and you've seen that vehicle going by you where it looks like that one tire is a basketball bouncing down the road. Well, that shock has failed completely, and that's dangerous. You don't want that on your car if you're going down the highway.
I'm going to do that very thing during the news break just for fun. But in the meantime, I know we have to head out of here, Nick, and I hope you can come back next week. But for those folks that need some help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. You can always give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be down on Grand Avenue, going for a walk, grabbing a bite to eat, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then, as always, I'd really appreciate you checking out our website. That's LloydsAutomotive.net.
Thank you, Nick. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
Next offer from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And thanks to the help you will get from ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll keep it running. We'll get it running. Your car, your truck, your van. If you have any issues with those vehicles and you need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you kind of want to know what might be ailing, why don't you give us a call or send a text to Nick this morning? Either one, 651-461-9226. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you, and how are things this past week at Lloyd's?
Things have been great. You know, it's been good, steady business, and we had a few folks working through their spring breaks here, so it always makes it a little interesting scheduling-wise, but we're back on top of it, so we're ready for more.
Now, tomorrow, being St. Patrick's Day, is there going to be a parade? Are the folks going to be wandering down Grand Avenue in front of Lloyd's?
The parade's downtown, so I don't believe the parade goes past Lloyd's, but I did notice driving around yesterday, there's a few tents being put up at a few of the establishments.
Oh, very good. Very good. I want to alert our listeners who may be new to the show, and thanks for checking us out. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, so our time goes by really quickly. So I just advise you, and we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text earlier rather than later, as we move rather quickly through our brief visit with Nick. Again, 651-461-9226. As you know, Nick, most of our listeners are drivers. They're not technicians like you and your crew at Lloyd's, but we do have, and as you know, you probably hear from technicians in the business. We have those folks listening to the show as well, or really do-it-yourselfers who can jump right into their vehicles, literally sometimes. Here is one, and you'll know what I mean. Hello, it says, I have a 2017 Honda Civic sedan with a 1.5-liter engine. Last summer, as preventative maintenance, I installed four new NGK laser iridium spark plugs and coil plugs. This summer, I'll be doing a manual valve adjustment. Wow. Was wondering, can I use the same spark plugs, or do we need to replace them since the spark plug crush washers would have been used? Of course, I'll be using a torque wrench. Thanks for any info.
I would reuse the same spark plugs. There is a crush washer that kind of helps seat the plug, I would say. But if they're properly installed, properly torqued, it'll be just fine. There's no need to go and buy new spark plugs. As you probably know, they've gotten quite costly.
And I don't personally, I would leave something like that up to the you and your crew there at Lloyd's Automotive. Tell me what can happen to spark plugs. We've addressed this issue before, especially spark plugs that have been there for, 100,000-plus miles. What can happen?
Well, the first thing I would say is if you're replacing the spark plugs, absolutely put back in what came out. Like quality or similar isn't good enough. There are some vehicles that are very sensitive to that. So whatever spark plug, even brand, that went in the vehicle when it was originally made is what we would reinstall it with. And then if you don't tighten it properly or torque it enough, they can become loose and actually literally blow out of the cylinder head, which would damage the cylinder head. If you tighten them too tight and crack them, you could have that material falling into the cylinder, which then could cause failure and permanent damage to the engine.
But generally speaking, and I haven't looked at the manual for my car yet, but these days it seems like you don't need to change spark plugs for a long, long time.
That's true in most cases. There are some vehicles that we see are now back around the 60,000-mile interval, but some of them are 100,000 miles. Now, it is important, even if the vehicle is running fine, to follow that interval. The other thing that can happen is if the plug's in the vehicle or the cylinder head too long, it might become difficult to remove, which could create more work and a little more money.
Ouch. All right. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Nick Stoffel is joining us, helping us out as usual this morning, helping you out. Here is another text, Nick. Texter says, I recently got an 88 New Yorker. Wow. The interior lights won't turn off, and the electronic dashboard quit. Any way I can fix that?
Possibly. It's going to require an old manual, a test light, a voltmeter, and try to decipher where we're losing power and ground. Once you determine that, finding the part, you know, whatever it might be difficult. Obviously, you go online. Some of these online sources can help you out. But ground. Once you determine that, finding the part, you know, whatever it might be difficult. Obviously, you go online. Some of these online sources can help you out. But it's going to be a bit of a treasure trail. So I would be patient and hopefully it works out for the best.
Rather long paragraph here. Maybe I can condense it. Basically, it doesn't mention any particular vehicle, but it's a general question about shocks and struts. How often should those be changed? Generally speaking, I guess we should address. I'm not sure how it varies from vehicle to vehicle. But how do you know if you need shocks or struts?
Well, it's one of those things that slowly deteriorates. We don't always notice they're getting bad until they are. Things that we look for, if they're leaking, we'll joust the vehicle, which is essentially pushing up and down on the bumper, on the hood, trunk, and seeing how it rebounds. It should go down and back up and settle down. It shouldn't be like a basketball. Tire wear is another thing. If the tires are becoming abnormally worn, likely because the tire's not firmly held to the road because that dampening part, shock strut, isn't doing its job. So it is. They can be expensive, but they can really change how the vehicle handles. Well, we talk about the things that you can do to a car that make it feel new. Tires and like shocks and struts are the one thing, you know, the vehicle's approaching 100,000 miles. It can make it feel like it's a new car again.
Now, over the years, has the quality of shocks, for example, changed? I mean, are we getting better materials these days than years ago?
Well, I think like everything with time, quality has improved, but also the technology and how they design and set up the suspensions has changed. You know, if I go back where we had just shocks on a vehicle, maybe it was 30,000 miles, and they just still didn't ride very good, where new vehicles with a different type of independent suspensions and the way they have control arms and all these other pieces, you can get 100,000 miles out of a strut, and the car can, you know, go smoothly down the road.
All right. Nick, we need to take a quick break. Let's again invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Again, if you have any kind of car problem, car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what might be ailing, give us a call or send a text, whichever is easier, at 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will take his leave about 7:45, so call us earlier rather than later on this Saturday morning. Right now in the Twin Cities on this windy day, it's going to be windy for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow as well. Let's see, the high today probably is where we're at the moment, 42. And we'll drop to 24 overnight. Then for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, our highs with another, as I said, windy day. 34 will be the high tomorrow at chilly and windy St. Patrick's Day. Right now, 42 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Danny Long back with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel. He runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, I got to come and see you one of these days for another oil change. But in the meantime, for those folks that maybe need an oil change or maybe some other kind of work and they want to visit you at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
You know, as always, we say if you need advice, questions, anything, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be on Grand, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. The corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, I would appreciate if you checked out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll have Nick give us that info before he leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Any kind of a car code question that's on your mind, 651-461-9226, either a phone call or a text. Speaking of text, here's yet another one. Good morning. This one says, I had the oil changed in my Toyota 4Runner this past week, and asked that the dealer use synthetic oil. They did, but the window reminder stick says the next time I should change the oil is in 5,000 miles. Shouldn't it read 10,000 miles? Thank you for your awesome show. Well, we've addressed this quite often, and I know what you're going to say, Nick, and I know how I feel, but let's face it, some of the dealers and the manufacturers say, yeah, 10,000 is what we recommend.
You know, I do believe that and we've, like you said, had this conversation. I'm sure the oil is capable of that, but the filters are still the same filters we've had. We see a lot of mechanical wear and tear, timing chains, other parts of the engine, the variable valve timing controlled by oil flow and oil pressure, that have issues, and a lot of it's lack of maintenance. So I can't stress enough on a good synthetic oil, 5,000 miles is our recommendation for sure.
Yeah. And for regular old-fashioned oil, about 3,000, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. This question doesn't mention any kind of a vehicle, but they ask about vehicle diagnostics. What is done during that? What do they mean? Well, I kind of know what they mean, but they want to know, is it expensive?
Well, that's always the tough one. So In our industry, someone comes in with a concern. If the check engine light is involved or a warning light is involved, that's helpful because then we can access the computer system that will give us a fault code to what the computer doesn't like. It doesn't tell you what part is broken, but it might say, for example, there's a misfire or the engine's running too lean. Well, with that information, we can go to, let's say, the spark plugs or go to the intake manifold, fuel injection. We can kind of focus on a particular area to help us save time, which saves money. Now, those intermittent, not very many clue type of problems can get costly because the more time it takes to assess and figure out what's wrong, the more it's going to cost. So it really kind of depends on the situation. I feel that our practices and procedures are efficient, so it saves people money because we know what we're doing. But sometimes it can still take a bit of time.
And you always recommend if somebody is buying a used vehicle, you call your shop like Lloyd's and get that vehicle checked out before you buy it, right?
100% of the time. You know, with the inflation and the cost of vehicles, the cost of used vehicles, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of less than desirable vehicles at that lower price point. You know, there's always been the classic, you know, $500 junker that your kid drove. Well, those days have changed where, my opinion, we just had one at Lloyd's this last week where somebody might take a salvaged vehicle and put it back together with not best practices, which, my opinion, makes the vehicle unsafe for the road. So it's something I would tell someone to pass on. Now, as a layperson that doesn't work on this every day, they may not see that. And I think that's really helpful and useful, especially in the event of an accident.
Oh, for sure. All right, let's see. This other text says, I have a high-mileage vehicle that has oxygen sensor failure, according to a computer check. Does that affect performance? And if so, what happens?
So the perfect example that code, depending if it's a circuit code or like a functionality code, is saying that it's not liking the sensor's reading. So is the sensor not reading properly, or is it correct in the fact that the exhaust coming past it is not clean? So what the sensors do is they read the amount of oxygen in the exhaust, shares that information with the computer, and the computer can adjust the fuel mixture to make it run optimally and clean. The other purpose is the second oxygen sensor, which is after the converter, which we've heard about in the news in the last few years where people were stealing them, is that converter filters or cleans the exhaust before it goes out the tailpipe. So those sensors are important. They do go through a lot of heat and a lot of soot and carbon and such, so they do tend to wear out or enable reading correctly. So it wouldn't be surprising that it would fail. It can affect fuel economy, the emissions for sure. Sometimes idle quality, if that sensor is erratic, the idle can kind of try to follow that because the fuel mixtures are changing. It's not the type of part that might leave you on the side of the road, but it puts a lot of stress on other parts. So I would call it a part you should fix or replace.
Okay. As I was reading this next text, Nick, I was thinking it was going to be a question, but it looks more like a comment. You decide. 2012 VW Passat. The air pressure sensor light does not go off, even after I've topped off all the tires with air. I've discovered, reading the owner's manual, the only way to have that light turn off is to push a reset button, which is in the glove box. It sounds kind of like a tip, doesn't it? A question.
That is true. Some vehicles do have a button to help reset the light. Some vehicles you just have to drive it. And some have a series or sequence of buttons you might have to push on the dash to reset it also. So there's a whole variety of designs and resetting procedure. So check the owner's manual. You can look online, see what fits your car in the event that the light comes on.
Absolutely. Check the owner's manual. Something we recommend from time to time. Nick, we're going to take a quick break for weather, advising our listeners if you have any kind of a car care question. We'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 or so. 651-461-9226. Weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, right after that 7 o'clock news break. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive, is answering, as usual, those any kind of a car care question you might have this morning for a few more minutes. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. Nick, let's grab another one. My wife, Texter, says drives 300 miles a month. Should she use high-grade fuel? She drives a new Equinox.
Well, we get this question from time to time also. And the advice would be, in the fuel door, it'll say regular unleaded, it'll say premium. It might have a bit of information, as with the owner's manual. And our response usually is, you can try a lower grade fuel if the vehicle operates and runs normally. I think it's okay. If you notice any pinging or detonation or any abnormality, I would upgrade to the higher level fuel.
All right. I'm looking at the next text, and it's kind of jumped around five or six different levels. So it'll take me a little bit to translate this. But what I could see is a 2017 Subaru Forester recently had replaced the front catalytic converter, replaced with an aftermarket unit. We were on vacation. The check engine light went on. Took it into a shop. Code indicated the converter is bad, needs to be replaced. Sounds strange. Evidently, it's probably the mechanic said it's probably the aftermarket converter and needs to be replaced. Have you heard that story before?
I have, and my opinion would be that the aftermarket converters don't have the same amount of the precious materials that clean the exhaust as the original equipment, meaning they cost less for a reason, and oftentimes it's not because it wasn't put together well or correctly. I just believe that the amount of the precious materials that filter it aren't there. So I have seen where some of the aftermarket ones, and there's a whole variety of them, that maybe don't last like they should. It should be under warranty, though. I think the warranty on those is long enough where if it were to fail within a couple of years, you should be able to have that replaced. If you're on vacation, I'm sure you're fine to drive home and get back to whoever done the work. So I wouldn't be too worried other than the fact that the light's on and that's concerning, but I think you'd be fine for the rest of your trip.
And we haven't talked about it for a while, but have you been hearing or seeing any evidence of continuing theft of converters?
You know, we talked about that a few months ago, and I said, it's been a while, and then that week we had a couple, so I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay.
I do think with the new laws and people made different decisions, there's been some reinforcements and security processes in some of these vehicles that's helped. People are more aware where they're parking, and just kind of like how the world works. You kind of adapt to your scenario, your situation, and keep going.
All right. Let's see our time. We can still handle a few questions. This listener has a 2022 Toyota Corolla, 60,000 miles on it. At what mileage should the CVT transmission have the filter and fluid changed?
Most vehicles, I believe that vehicle included, it would be a drain and fill, meaning you pull a drain plug and a few quarts will come out, and then you replace the plug and go to the fill plug and refill it. And the mileage, back to that owner's manual, my guess would be around that 60,000 mile, but I wouldn't know every make and model, so I would check the owner's manual, look online. There'll be a good resource or information there.
Here's an interesting text, something you and I talk about, oil, synthetic oil. Question is, are there really some models out there where synthetic oil is not recommended at all? Texter says, I'm thinking of my Hyundai Santa Fe.
You know, I always ask myself that question. You know, I look at our inventory and our purchases, and, you know, even our conventional oil that we use is now semi-synthetic, but we still use quite a bit of it. So we always put back in what comes out of the vehicle. We look it up in the manual or in our online references that we use. And we still go through quite a bit of it. So, yeah, there are still some vehicles that we'll use, you know, especially like sometimes there's a 530 or 520. Now, 0W20 is only synthetic because it's the way it was made. So if your vehicle, which many vehicles on the road now take a 0W20, that's going to be synthetic regardless. But some of those other weights, there are still some options.
I think my son's vehicle takes a 0.16. It's like water.
Yeah, they're 0.16, and I think there's a couple out there might take a 0W8, and you know that's a whole other conversation. And
yeah,
I know emissions is a big, and fuel economy is a big push there, but I look about durability and longevity too. So there's a balance somewhere in there.
Yeah, but I'm sure you recommend do what the manufacturer recommends.
Absolutely, you know, you have a warranty on that vehicle. You want to use what is recommended and required by the manufacturer to keep that warranty intact.
Okay. This listener has a 2015 Chevy Equinox. Whenever they say it sits without being driven, the battery dies. No problem if driven within 3 days. It does have a new battery. I bet I know what you're going to say.
Well, let's see what you have to say, Denny. No, there's a drain.
It's draining somewhere, right?
It's draining somewhere. You know, it's going to take a little due diligence with a voltmeter across the, you know, on the battery to see what kind of drain or what amount of current it's leaking. And then we go to each circuit of the vehicle and try to figure out which circuit or which fuse that's on. And then you go to figure out what's on that fuse and circuit. And, you know, it's a process. You know, it kind of goes along with our question earlier, diagnostic is inexpensive. You know, an electrical drain like that, it might be a common thing that we've seen before from our experience, and we can get to it fairly quickly, or it might be something a little more buried and unconventional. It takes a little more time. So you don't want your battery wearing down every few days for sure. So that needs to be resolved, because whatever is draining, if that component fails or damages another component, it could be a computer or a module, which can be very costly. So I would have that looked at.
Okay. A question about, we were talking about shocks and struts. Back to the question about shocks and struts, Dexter says, first of all, do most cars today have struts? Are there cars today that still have old-fashioned shocks? Are struts either oil or gas-filled? If oil, they will seep and you know replacement is needed. If gas, how do you know if the strut needs replacing? First of all, what's a strut?
Well, they do the same thing. They dampen, right? And a shock, there are still shocks on the rears of a lot of vehicles, but most everything on the front of the vehicle, except for maybe a truck, is going to be a strut. You know, and a strut most often is like a coilover, so it's a sleeve that has a dampening unit in the middle, and then that coil spring on the outside that is essentially it's called the McPherson strut. It's everything contained in one. Where if you go back to yesteryears, you would have a shock and then a different spring. You know, sometimes there was a leaf spring, which goes way far back, or sometimes there would be a coil spring separate of the shock. So it's just how, when I talked about the ride of the vehicle, as technology and advancements have changed, that McPherson strut made a big difference on how we set up the front of a vehicle, which makes the handling, the ride, much, much better.
And you said earlier, too, as far as if shocks and or struts are bad, and you see some just tire wear, first of all, that could be, may not be, but it could be an indication if you have bad tire wear.
Abnormal tire wear, we'll see. The handling, you know, in yourself, you can go out after the radio show here and go out and push down on the bumper of your vehicle. If it goes down and back up smoothly, they're probably doing the job. If you notice that they kind of jostle or bounce a little bit, that's a sign that they're getting worn. We've all been on the highway before, and you've seen that vehicle going by you where it looks like that one tire is a basketball bouncing down the road. Well, that shock has failed completely, and that's dangerous. You don't want that on your car if you're going down the highway.
I'm going to do that very thing during the news break just for fun. But in the meantime, I know we have to head out of here, Nick, and I hope you can come back next week. But for those folks that need some help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. You can always give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you happen to be down on Grand Avenue, going for a walk, grabbing a bite to eat, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then, as always, I'd really appreciate you checking out our website. That's LloydsAutomotive.net.
Thank you, Nick. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Sandy.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.